Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein. Today, I'm delighted to have Ling Comp, Director of Market Development for Network Platforms Group at Intel, back in the studio with me. Welcome, Ling.
Hi, Allison. Glad to be back.
I was really looking forward to this interview because what an exciting day for Intel and some great networking news as well. Why don't you start by just telling me the big news from Intel today?
Well, the big news today is that we launched the Intel Xeon processor, and the number is E52695V4, but we like to shorten it to E5V4.
That was a lot of numbers, but most importantly, this is our flagship product line, the Xeon E5 series, version 4. What are the key capabilities that this processor is bringing for the network?
There's a couple of them that are really important to our direct customers. Things like Intel Quick Assist technology, which helps to accelerate crypto and compression algorithms. But things like the Intel Resource Director technology are really more exciting in some ways because it helps our customers get and realize the vision of orchestration that we've been talking about for a very long time with software-defined infrastructure.
This news came at an event that Intel called Cloud Day. There were ecosystem partners there, members of the global media. Tell me a little bit about what network virtualization means from a cloud perspective when you think about it from an enterprise data center point of view.
Network virtualization is actually not something that's really new at all. It's something that they have been having to do as a way to adjust for server virtualization. Because if you think about it, if you are always having to talk between virtual machines that happen to be running on the same physical server, but you can't do that through a virtual network or a virtual switch, you actually have to go from virtual to physical and then back to going virtual again. It actually slows the whole system down and removes some flexibility in terms of where you can populate workloads based on where some of the core data that they rely on happens to be residing in the overall system.
When you look at what the ecosystem is doing in network transformation from a broader context, obviously we've spent a lot of time talking about this. But in the enterprise space, we've been working very tightly with our network builders community on solutions for this space as well. Can you tell me a little bit about the work there and what are the key technologies that we're driving into the network?
So we've been working both between and in flexibility with the cloud ecosystem and the telco ecosystem because telecommunications really wants to be more cloud-like. In fact, that's the whole objective behind the network transformation. And so things like live migration, which is a very, very normal use case when you are in an enterprise in a data center environment, becomes something that's even more easy with these extensions, things that make Intel Quick Assist technology easier to use in a live migration environment. What we're finding is a lot of these capabilities we thought were really much more comm-centric are very, very useful in the enterprise and the cloud. And then the telecommunications market, the service providers are looking at the cloud and enterprise market and thinking, I can learn a lot in terms of how to be much more agile.
You know, when we look at reports on OpenStack, for example, they call out network functionality as a key attribute that is required to drive broad adoption of that particular platform. Where do we think we are with delivery of the core technology to make this transition?
I think that 2016 is going to be the year of commercial deployments in communications. However, this technology and the virtualization of the network has been happening for many years in the enterprise and the cloud. If you look at firewall or load balancing or things like dynamic load balancing, even in the cloud usage models, you can go up and find these service apps that you can bind together already. They're already present in the ecosystem. And so we're really just taking a usage model very similar to what we did with virtualization technology, where we continually added capabilities and added hooks in the hardware that made virtualization run faster and faster to the point where there's almost zero latency impact impact as a result of being virtualized versus being physical.
Now, Intel made a big announcement today about the creation of cloud builders and storage builders based on the network builders' successful foundation. And we had a number of network builders with us at our event today. Can you talk a little bit about where we are with network builders and some of the recent updates to the program?
Well, this morning, Jason Waxman in his keynote talked about some of the ways that we've been accelerating cloud-ready networks. And Network Builders is an initiative that we've been doing for just over 2 years now. And in 2015, it had incredible results. We had over 40 commercial deployments using Intel Network Builders partner solutions. And if you look at where did those 40 deployments go, just in the communication space, it was 5 of the 10 top communication service providers were actually doing deployments for NFV and SDN. So huge market tipping point. In 2016, just to give you a comparison, because we said, hey, 2016 is the year of the commercial deployment, we're looking for 125 or more deployments on Intel Network Builders partner solutions. And the market's transitioned. If you read some of the Infinetix reports, 17 of 20 top comm service providers are saying, we're going to be deploying NFV and SDN in 2016.
And it really shows what we've been talking about for a while in a quantitative approach, that this market is just ready to start taking off. And we're seeing that in terms of the deployment numbers that you just mentioned. Can you tell me about some of the customers that have actually deployed systems?
So one of the ones that we mentioned in some of our early briefings include Ericsson. And they have a system that's called HDS 8000, Hyperscale Data Center System is what HDS stands for. And they are starting to pull in things around our resource director technology as well as some of our virtualization capabilities to detect noisy neighbors and keep the environment clean and keep from disrupting the cache and slowing the workloads down. And then another one that is in Diane's keynote example would be Nokia, who is another comm service provider that is also extending into the data center and enterprise solutions with their hardware. They are calling it the airframe solution.
Now, you had an interesting guest on stage with Sandra Rivera today, which was Cerner. That was an interesting collaboration. Can you share some details?
So Cerner is one example of a number of different enterprise vendors that are network builders partners. In their case, they're accelerating enterprise workloads using many of the hooks that you see in the V4 as well. They're an end user case, and what we're finding is so many of the things that we believe and designed to remove bottlenecks for the telecommunications space. Well, it turns out that these big partners like Cerner, NASDAQ is another one that's in network builders with us, they're all finding uses within the enterprise because they also need low latency and high throughput environments.
What does it take for the industry to come together to deliver that technology, and why is collaboration so important?
Without collaboration, these solutions would in reality come out as a one-stop shop. And unfortunately, sometimes when you have these highly integrated one-vendor solutions, what you find is that innovation slows down, and very often the customers end up losing as a result because they have to wait for the next upgrade, as opposed to being able to deploy what happens to be the best of breed for the workloads that they need to accelerate at any given time. And so from that standpoint, if you look at Network Builders, which started with a half dozen vendors and is now over 190 different partners, including end users, it just goes to show the importance of bringing that total solution together, but also giving those end users, whether it's in the enterprise or in the communication service providers, choice. They want best of breed choice.
So, Lynn, very exciting day for the networking team. Obviously, a great day for the Intel Data Center Group, featuring so much innovation from across the industry. Thank you so much for making time today to be on the program. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Allison. Very excited to be back and really excited to see the solutions that our ecosystem come up with based on this E5 V4 processor.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.